Well, hello there, and welcome back to the BetUS NFL show a day early. We're typically here Thursday, but gobble, gobble, it's Thanksgiving coming up tomorrow. So we're live here in the 1 a.m. Eastern time or the 1 p.m. Eastern time hour to get you some NFL prognostication before Turkey Day and the triple header and the full slate of games. I am merely the somewhat capable host, TJ Reeves. The handicappers are back. Chris Farley, Scott Kellen. How are we feeling, Brother Farley? You all good for another week and for another edition of the show?
Yes, sir. Itching my way back to 500 finally. But man, those Cardinals, I thought Kyler Murray was playing. I'm not sure if it would have made much of a difference. 49ers right now are looking like a real contender this year. So, but we'll be back to 500, I think, this week.
Yeah, the Cardinals did not exactly show up in Mexico, figuratively or literally, especially on defense. Scott Kellen, how you feeling as we get ready for Thanksgiving and a bevy of games?
I am feeling great, TJ. I was a little disappointed. I was expecting maybe a turkey hat from you or something today, but, you know, we'll move on.
I am in the fall festive kind of pastel, whatever this is that I have on, but no turkey hat from me for Turkey Day coming up. It is going to be a busy weekend in the NFL. Again, triple header on Thursday. And again, every team playing, no off weeks. And we've got a quarterback change situation in New York. We got some injury updates. We've got plenty to get to. All right, a couple of things. Thank you for finding us a day early on the BetUS NFL show. Hit the like button down below. Make sure that you're subscribed. Make sure that you're sharing us out. We know that there are a ton of you that are out there that are watching us in long form on the full show or even in the different segments. Again, we're live typically on Thursdays, but we're here a day early for today because of the holiday. So thank you for that. Another thing, too, we've still got the World Cup bracket contest going on from BetUS.com. Get in on that right now. $50,000 in prizes. $25,000 bracket first prize. Second prize through 10th place will also get payouts as well. $50,000 prize pool. The World Cup Bracket Challenge. Find out more at BetUS.com. You have until Saturday, December 3rd to get in on the Bracket Challenge for the knockout rounds and all the way through the World Cup winner. So that's from our friends at BetUS. Take advantage of that offer, that opportunity. As Chris Farley mentioned, we take a look at the records, and the guys are right around. They've been hovering right around the 500 mark or a little better so far this season. You see the show is above 500. Farley right at 500. Scott Kellen, five games above 500 for right now. So we're in good shape record-wise. We can always do better. We're always looking ahead. We're always looking at the future here on this show. So are you boys ready to go? You ready to go with a Thanksgiving Day triple header of games? Let's do it.
Let's begin
with what's going to happen in Detroit, where the Buffalo Bills were there in a quasi home game, I guess, last weekend beating the Cleveland Browns. Now they're back at Ford Field 4 days later as the road team, and they are laying 10 points here in this matchup with the Detroit Lions. The Lions off the upset of the Giants last week in New York, total 54.5. And the first play will belong to Chris Farley. Get us underway. What's the official play, my friend, to get us started?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, yeah, the Bills, they are playing at Ford Field for the second straight game, but they did go back to Buffalo. They decided to make that move, fly back to Buffalo, fly back to Detroit. Don't love that for the Bills. And, you know, this might seem like a bet with my heart more than my mind, because obviously the Bills are a much better team. If these two teams saw each other in the playoffs or something, yeah, the Bills win this game, and they probably win this game by margin. But I do like this spot for the Detroit Lions. It's obviously a Thanksgiving tradition for them to host there in Detroit. Has to be a circled game for them as a team, knowing that one of the, you know, a perennial playoff contenders and a Super Bowl contender is going to come to Detroit, you know, national TV in front of everybody. They don't want to get embarrassed in this game. And the Lions have been doing a lot of things right. Past 3 weeks, only one turnover. Past 2 weeks, 70% red zone scoring percentage. They're not turning the ball over themselves. They are getting takeaway, six interceptions the past 3 weeks. And, you know, their defense is playing better. They put up 30 points the past 2 weeks. And the Bills are kind of playing down to their competition a little bit. You know, the Browns really had no business being within a one-score game at the end of that contest last week. And now the Bills have to play again in Detroit after going back and forth, like I said. So 10 points is a lot in the NFL, especially in a big spot like this. Could the Bills absolutely blow the doors off the Lions? Yes. But you're taught as a young sports bettor that when there's this much value, a double-digit line at home in a game where probably Dan Campbell, if he's competitive in this, the Lions are competitive, he for sure saves his job for a little while as a Detroit Lions coach. I think it's an important game for them, so I'm going Lions plus 10 in the first game on Thanksgiving.
You could make the argument he may have already saved his job, because Scott Kellen, when's the last time we had this sentence, Detroit Lions three-game win streak? That's what we have. They beat the Giants, and they have obviously played better football. Some thoughts, if no official play, sir?
Yeah, and they're staying competitive. I make the numbers, both side and total, kind of where the number is, so no play from that standpoint. Same scenario for Buffalo this week. Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker, he's a very good pass defender for them out, and they'll be without their edge rusher, Greg Rousseau, as well, so a good edge rusher as well out there. They could be without their center, Mitch Morse. And the only other things I would note here is Buffalo, first of all, Buffalo ran the ball 53% of the time last week against Cleveland. So we might see this a little bit, maybe, you know, obviously if they're very close in a game and they need to win the game, they might resort back to throwing. But just in an effort to protect Josh Allen a little bit, you may see some running efforts here, which could support the under. You know, my numbers, again, kind of around where it is. But looking back here, Buffalo, 8-2 under as a road favorite since 2020. They've allowed 21 or less in 9 of those 10 games. You know, I don't know. Detroit's a pretty good offense here, so that might not hold true. And then the other things I would note here from a Lions standpoint, they're 8-3 as a home underdog under Dan Campbell. Includes 7-0 against the spread as a dog of 4 or more points, 4-0 against the spread as a home dog of 7 or more points. So they've been extremely competitive in these games. If Buffalo chooses to run the ball a little bit, you could see a closer game in the end. Could be very much like last week. Cleveland goes down and scores at the end to lose by 8. By the way, my buddy had a plus 9 with Cleveland at BetUS, so he was very happy with that score. I had the over. I was very happy with that, but... So you could see a little conservative effort from here from Buffalo if they have some margin in this game, which will allow Detroit to back into it. And if Detroit plays like they do, where they're just competitive, they could certainly stay within the number, but no play for me.
They got the takeaways last week against Daniel Jones. Chris Farley is backing them right away on Turkey Day and saying the Detroit Lions will hang in. Let's lock him in plus the 10 on the Thanksgiving triple header opener with the Buffalo Bills. Game number 2. For Thanksgiving Day. Let's take a look at the New York Giants against the Dallas Cowboys. Again, the Giants lost to the Lions last week at home, only their third loss on the year. Dallas, meanwhile, freight trained Minnesota last week. So now the Cowboys laying 10. Both teams 7-3. Dallas still a 10-point favorite in this one. The total 45.5. We're going to have an official play from both handicappers. Scott Kellen, begin things with what you like and why officially.
Hey, okay. First thing is, we're doing the show on Wednesday. It's the first practice, really, of the week. Obviously, these teams playing tomorrow have been practicing all week, but we're getting injury reports for those teams. So I just saw it come across for the Giants. They're going to have 4 offensive linemen who won't play, including Evan Neal, John Feliciano, who got hurt last week. So they're down some offensive linemen here. I actually played the Cowboys minus 9.5. This line is 10 here at BetUS. So the alternative here is I'm playing Dallas team total over what I think will probably be about 27.5 in this game. I've got Dallas scoring about 31 in this game. And I know, or I have a sense that Chris is probably going to be on the other side. He's had a great read in the Giants this year, so I'm very interested to hear his read. And this just seems like a bounce back spot. It almost seems like a square play in the Cowboys. They roll last week, and now the Giants come in off a loss. Just the way the NFL goes, it would be a spot for the Giants. But my numbers do support Dallas here. From a Giants standpoint, dead last in the league in generating big pass plays, and now face a Dallas team that leads the league in defending backs big pass plays. So I don't see explosive plays, at least through the air, coming. Giants are second worst in the league in allowing pressure. Now they got all these offensive linemen out. We saw what that meant when Minnesota lost their left tackle, Darisaw, last week. Dallas was all over Kirk Cousins. Giants 30th in pass offense. Now they're going to face a Dallas defense, which is second in pass defense. So obviously the Giants can run the ball, and they could do that against Dallas. Dallas is vulnerable there. But if they do get behind, this could, I'm not suggesting a 43 game at all, but it could put pressure on the Giants to throw the ball here. Giants 17-7 against the spread as a road dog since Daniel Jones took over, but they're only 5-5 against the spread as a road dog of 7 or more points. Cowboys 10-2-1 against the spread as a home favorite of 7 or more points since Dak started, or since in any games that Dak started and didn't leave because of an injury. He got hurt against the Giants a few years ago in a game. They've scored 27 or more in 11 of those 13 games. And the Giants are hurting the secondary. They lost a safety a couple weeks ago, lost some corners that are probably going to be out this week as well. So it's just a numbers play for me. I don't love the spot from an NFL standpoint because what goes up one week comes down and vice versa. So, you know, I get a little nervous about that, but my numbers do support Dallas. Because it's 10 at BetUS, I would lay 9.5, but because of that, the alternative here over what will probably be 27.5 team total points.
All right, so he likes Dallas to score a bunch. Brother Farley, give me a thought or two. I know you're a Giants guy. Little carryover effect here after the loss, and it's only 4 days later and they're on the road after losing to the Lions. Then again, Dallas may be a bit overconfident, feeling a little cocky right now. Quick thoughts here, Chris, and what's the play?
Yeah, I guess I'm rooting for some close games here on Thanksgiving, some good TV at least, because I'm going to take the Giants at plus 10. Again, we're getting double digits here at BetUS. And, you know, it's funny, on paper, you look at these divisional matchups and sometimes, right, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys should be considered a Super Bowl contender in the NFC. It's probably them, the 49ers, the Bucks, you know, but Giants are not as good of a team, that's for sure. And the Cowboys are probably going to win this game. But I do think this checks out as a very Brian Daboll game, right? Like kind of what we're used to from him. Probably a lot of creativity in this one, probably defense playing over their heads again. And the path to success for the Giants is, you know, you keep those deep plays, those big plays from happening, play back in the secondary, and you play ball control, right? And you can run on the Cowboys. They allow 4.7, 4.8 yards per carry. It's one or the other. I forget off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we saw the Bears run all over them. We saw the Packers run all over them. And now they're starting to mix things up in the Giants line with Matt Breida and Saquon. I mean, Saquon's getting quite the load this year. You know, getting a little concerned about possible injuries to him. So I think the Giants are going to look to mix things up a little bit, be creative in this game, play ball control. You know, Giants are 5-1 against the spread as a dog this year. Now, Cowboys are 4-1 against the spread as a favorite. So they do cover in these spots typically. But again, NFC East battle. Giants know they're probably about to fall behind here in the NFC East standings. Their playoff hopes are going to start to dwindle because they got the Commanders for two games, Eagles for two games, Vikings, Colts, second half of their schedule. So if they want a shot to just hang in here, they at least got to be competitive. I like them at plus 10. I don't hate Scott's play either. Hopefully we hit it. It's like 30-23 finish, something like that.
Perfect.
All right. So both handicappers are on this game. Again, for Scott, he's on the Dallas team total. Brother Farley says too many points again, back to back. That's like a turkey and then a turkey leg later on. You're going to take the turkey leg 10 points here with the Giants later on in the day as the official play in that matchup for game two on Thanksgiving. Game three, a primetime game. They went to this about a decade ago with a third Thanksgiving game. This one in primetime in Minnesota. We are 4 days later, and we still, what in the name of Bud Grant happened last Sunday, not only to get beat, but get annihilated by the Cowboys for the Vikings, yet the New England Patriots come in and they're the underdog, getting 2.5. Of course, the Patriots offense was bad last week against the Jets in a game that was 3-3 all the way until the final minute of the game before the punt return. The total is 42.5. There's not an official play. Chris Farley, right back to you for a thought here, though, on this. And talk about carryover effect. Are the Vikings going to be recovered psychologically, I'm talking about, 4 days later?
Yeah, I'm not so sure. You know, if I'm looking at anything on this game, I'm looking at possibly playing an under. I think this game might move slower than a lot of people think. The Vikings are going to be down with Christian Darrisaw, and he's been their best offensive lineman this year. Their left tackle, Kirk Cousins, you know, just enjoying some extra protection that he hasn't had in the past. And we saw with him being down that last game against the Cowboys, the difference that made. This Patriots team gets a sack on over 10% of their plays on defense. They are second in the NFL in that. Matthew Judon leads the NFL in sacks. This is going to be a game where they're probably going to be able to get after Kirk and make him uncomfortable. Kirk Cousins in the bright lights, right, these national TV spots, doesn't always thrive. I'll put it that way, and that's probably being very nice. Whereas on the other end, the Patriots, they might be without their left tackle as well. They should be without their center. I believe his name is Mark. I had it pulled up
David
here, but
Andrews,
it doesn't matter. He's a good player. And they're going to be without him probably. So they're hurting on their offensive line a little bit. And listen, you know, the Vikings offense wants to get right, but that defense also allowed 40 points at home. So we have to expect a little bit of positive regression from them too. So I'm looking at the under. I didn't bet it yet, but I do think that might be a good play here. Patriots are going to try and play ball control and keep this game low scoring. That's their path to success. I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots won this game straight up either.
Again, Belichick always masterful with the defense. The receiving core, not good for New England. Mac Jones, not very good. Scott, any quick thoughts? No official play here before we move on Patriots Thanksgiving night in Minnesota.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Vikings are becoming a better version of last year's Raiders team that finished 10-7, but negative in point differential. Here we have the Vikings 8-2, and they're now -2 in point differential. And, you know, we've kind of talked about this all year.
Of course, getting beat 40-3 last week hurts the point differential big time. Keep going.
Yeah, and it's been two games, right? Them and Philly, right, have destroyed their point differential, which is a fair point. I have no play in the game. I'll help support you a little bit, Chris. I can tell you the Vikings lost by 24 or more points last week, 40-3. Those teams typically come back to the under the following week. Matter of fact, their record is 66 unders, 29 overs, and no pushes. So it's a very, very good situational play for the under to come in. My numbers kind of support the over a little bit in this game, so I'm not on the under, and I would definitely not go over in the game. Vikings sixth worst in the league and allowing pressure, New England second best. Now, let's be fair. New England has done this against the Jets and then against a backup quarterback with the Colts a couple weeks ago. My numbers slightly support the Vikings in this game. And if we get confirmed, Isaiah Wynn, the tackle, and David Andrews, the center, being out, I may take a shot at -2.5 on the Vikings here. I don't think they're a great team. But, you know, who has New England beat this year? Let's see. Pittsburgh, Detroit.
Yep.
They lost to Chicago, beat the Jets twice in Indianapolis, right? So I don't think it's fair to say New England has done a whole lot of great things here either. And the Vikings will put some pressure on them as well. And without Darisaw, that is troublesome here. So no play for me, slight lean to the Vikings. And the David Andrews thing is very weird. He's a great center, as you said, Chris. He was announced earlier this week as possibly being done for the season. Then he walks on the practice field yesterday. I don't know how much he practiced, but he may even play now, right? So kind of got to wait there. But if they don't have Lynn and Andrews, I think it's going to be equally tough sledding for New England. Kind of helps support your under as well.
Yeah, good luck getting the correct injury information out of Belichick and the Patriots. It's almost like trying to get things out of the communist Chinese, right, on the injury.
Yeah, yeah. The center is one of the most important positions in football, too, truly. So that's a big miss that he misses. Yeah, he's
good. I mean, they're the type, though, New England, as we get ready to move on, though, that have a guy allegedly out for the year. They stick him out there at a practice when the media can show the first 30 minutes of practice. Then he disappears and doesn't practice, and then they put him on IR Saturday or whatever, or in this case, Thursday. Watch what happens. We'll keep an eye on that for the Patriots center. In any event, no play from the guys on the Thursday night capper for Thanksgiving night, Vikings and New England. Reminder, if you're finding us live, we're here a day early on the BetUS NFL show, typically Thursdays, as you see on the screen at 1 Eastern. We came early for the Thanksgiving holiday. You're getting three Thanksgiving Day games, so we just handicapped all of those and gave you some insight into those. Let's move to Sunday, and an interesting game for the Baltimore Ravens, who continue to ascend in the AFC North. They lay 4 at Jacksonville, with the Jaguars coming off a bye week, total 43.5. Again, we have no official play, guys, so we'll kind of move through a little quicker here. Scott Killen, I'm right back to you. Give me a thought, if no official play, on the Jags at home.
Only things I'll point out here, TJ, Jacksonville, very good running team this year, fourth best, but the Ravens have my eighth best run defense, which might continue to improve, with Rohan Smith getting picked up a few weeks ago from the Bears. They've been very good. Jacksonville 8-1 under as a home dog since the beginning of last season, and the Ravens are 7-2 to the under in their last 9 games as a road favorite. There's going to be a little bit of rain possibly and some wind there in Jacksonville as well. So I would caution anyone possibly taking the over. My numbers don't support either way, but there are some under trends towards this game.
Chris Farley, a thought here, if no official play, as much like the New England Jets game, it was a 3-3 game deep into the fourth quarter, Baltimore against Carolina last week. Now the Ravens on the road in a game that could be ugly weather-wise in Jacksonville. Thought, Chris, real quick?
Yeah, I'll say this. I might end up playing a Jaguars money line in this one because it's a weird spot for the Ravens. Ravens coming out last week after their bye, looking really lackadaisical on offense. And a lot of times we see this from teams. Like we saw from the Chiefs before, the Bills. You go to South Florida, weird games. There's rain, there's wind, it's warmer than you're used to. Jaguars off a bye, and the Jaguars have a very good run defense. They're a top 10 team against the run this year. That's what the Ravens want to do, right? And they were kind of, it wasn't really working at first last week, faced a good Carolina defense in that regard. And I don't know if it's going to get any easier this week in some potential slop against the Jaguars, who have had two weeks to prep and rest. So this is, I mean, I think the Jaguars have some value here. I don't think they're, again, this is a playoff game. Baltimore probably blows the doors off the Jaguars, but some of these spots are just a little sleepy, a little weird. Lean towards Jacksonville here.
All right, fair enough. No play from the handicappers again. Doug Peterson's team was all right at the beginning of the year. Then they seemingly have fallen off, self-destruction. Maybe they've gotten it together on a bye. Mark Andrews is expected to try to play in this game, getting healthier, shoulder and knee problems, the favorite tight end target, but no play from the guys on Baltimore at Jacksonville. Let's move on with another game with two teams struggling. This is Denver and Carolina. Hey, if it's another week, it must be another Carolina quarterback. They're now going to go to Sam Darnold for this week's game. We see him pictured there. He has not started a game this season. He started in the preseason, hurt his ankle. He has come in relief on one occasion, but has not started a game yet. Russell Wilson, meantime, and the Broncos are still smarting from giving up the overtime touchdown. Russell didn't do it. It was the defense. Give up the overtime touchdown to the Raiders. All right, the line 2.5. The Broncos, interesting, favored by 2.5 at Carolina. The total is 36 here. We don't have an official play. Chris Farley, I'm right back to you, though. On somebody feels better about themselves long about 4:30 Eastern time on Sunday afternoon. Any thoughts here?
I mean, you see a total that low, right? There's probably a lot of people out there. Oh, I'm gonna take the over in this one. I'm not so sure about that. Denver Broncos defense is probably still one of the better units in the NFL, even though they did. That throw to Devontae Adams from the Raiders last week in overtime. There's nobody within 15 yards of that dude.
Yep.
Just like any defense, they can make mistakes. But Sam Darnold, maybe a slight uptick in Baker Mayfield, if you ask me, because I'm just not a Baker fan. But he's not going to come, into that game and, like, shred the Denver secondary. It's just not going to happen. And then, this Broncos offense, we see it every single week. I thought last week was a great spot for the Broncos. It was one of my bigger plays of the year. -2.5, you're getting under 3. And they still, mediocre, limited, right? Some opportunities that they could have taken advantage of, and they didn't. Over and over again, we just see the same thing from this team. I think Nathaniel Hackett's job might be on the line in this game. If he loses for sure, I think he might be fired. I kind of like this spot a little bit better for Denver. Again, it's a short line, but I am not, it's a classic handicapper story, right? I took them last week. They really disappointed me. Should probably play them this week. Against a Panthers team that's going to be very limited too, but I'm not going to do it, right? Because I'm fresh off that loss last week. But lean Denver here.
Scott, I heard Chris Farley say Nathaniel Hackett may be toast after this game if they don't win. I don't know if you agree with that. Any thoughts if no official play on a Carolina team that ground to a halt without P.J. Walker at the helm? Couldn't move the ball, couldn't score on Baltimore last week.
Yeah, my numbers support Carolina a little bit here, but that's with the caveat that there's no Jerry Jeudy, no KJ Hamler, and those guys supposedly may have a chance to play here. And if they did play, I'd still have a slight value to Carolina, but then I would try to look at them as a teaser opportunity, and I don't know right now what else I would tease them with, but I'll just point out a couple things here. Denver 5-9 against the spread and over under, so 5 overs, 9 unders. Last 14 games as a road favorite. And since 2017, Carolina has been a home dog of 3 or less points 12 times. 3 or less points 12 times. That's a lot of home dogs. They're 8-4 straight up and against the spread. And they've only lost one of those games by more than 6 points. So when installed as a small home dog, they've been very competitive. And here we go at Denver again. They just continue their amazing run of close games. Only one of their 10 games has been decided by more than 7 points. So this just kind of reeks of a close game, a teaser opportunity potentially. And I can tell you teasers being teased up, the home dog, getting them, that they're a line of under 3 and teasing them up over 7. They've been very good this year and done very well. If I could find another team to tease it with, the only caveat here, I guess, one last thing on this, TJ, is the whole Sam Darnold thing, man. Like, I like.
Scott's got a phone ringing. Scott's got a call. live on the show. Maybe it's the Baker Mayfield fan club saying, what are you about to knock Baker Mayfield? Go ahead.
Thanksgiving is a busy week.
For that. But when I look at quarterbacks, I look at yards per pass, sack rate, and interception rate. Darnold is very equivalent to Baker Mayfield. P.J. Walker's been way better, right? So I just don't trust Darnold. I see interceptions, turnovers, right? And that can lead just to a lot of unpredictable things. But if I did anything here, I would look as a teaser possibly with Carolina, but nothing for me right now.
Fair enough. Hold the man's calls, please. Hold the man's calls. He's busy. I know it's a Wednesday show and not a Thursday show. So people are trying to get used to when are we doing it or whatever. I understand that. And again, PJ Walker is not an option here because he's been in a walking boot. He's not been able to practice. So it's going to be Darnold and Baker Mayfield in this matchup. No play from the handicappers. Will either team get to like 13 points or 16 points in this game? We shall see on Sunday with Denver at Carolina. Let's move on our BetUS Thanksgiving Day edition show on a Wednesday. It is the Atlanta Falcons and the Washington Commanders. The Commanders playing so much better with Taylor Heinicke at the helm. Defense has been standing up as well. They now lay 4 points with an Atlanta Falcon team that has kind of been hot and cold. The Falcons were better last week against the Bears, spurred on by Cordarrelle Patterson's big kickoff return for a touchdown in that game. So the Falcons get 4 on the road. The total is 42 in this one. Scott, I am right back to you for the official play. What are we looking at here on this? And maybe a couple of plays from you on this matchup.
Yeah, I'm going to lay the 4 with Washington here. I don't think I'd want to go over 4, but I'll lay the 4. And I'm going under 42. I would go under 41 or higher in this game. Might see a little wind and rain here. I don't think it's going to be, super high winds or rain that's going to affect the game, but could be a little bit of that here as well. But Atlanta loses Kyle Pitts. In some ways, that's a big loss, but he's not having a great year with them, so I don't know how much that'll impact him. But Atlanta likes to run the ball. They're number 8 in my rankings running the ball this year. They're going to face a Washington rush defense that I rate as number 6, so I think that could be a little troublesome for them. The Commanders have struggled to throw the ball this year. I've got them at just 24th best, although a little bit better than that since Taylor Heinicke started for him. But they're going to face an Atlanta defense here that's 30th best. So I think Washington could improve on their passing game against this Atlanta pass defense as well. And then just looking at it from Atlanta standpoint, their last 3 games on the road, they have scored, if I can find the numbers here, 15, 17, and 15 points. And yes, they started out the year 6-0 against the spread. Everyone was saying how great they are. And, you know, they're not a great team. They're not a bad team. But as a road dog, whether it's this year or last year under Arthur Smith, they're 4-7 straight up, 1-3 straight up this year with the improvements that we've seen this year. So it's not like they're winning a lot of games here. And, you know, this is not laying 2.5, of course. We're crossing 3 and got to get over 4, which are important numbers. But it's still a fairly short number, I feel, for the most part. And where Atlanta has scored points this year is against some of the worst defenses that they've played. The Seattles, the New Orleans, some of those teams. Washington, I mark as a better-than-average defense. They get Chase Young back. We'll see what happens there as well. I just don't see Atlanta scoring a lot of points, and this is a team that's given up 20 or more points in all but one game this year. So I see Washington be able to score 20 to 24 points in this game. I don't know that Atlanta can get over 17 based on what they've done on the road against decent defenses this year. 24-17 would not surprise me. That'd get us under the 42, push on the 41, I guess, and will get us a Washington cover. I like Washington and the under.
Interesting on this. Again, this stuff is not complicated, Brother Farley. Taylor Heinicke has gone into the starting lineup. They're 4-1 with him as a starter. I know Carson Wentz is back practicing. Let me give you a newsflash, folks. Taylor Heinicke, if he's healthy, is going to start this game and play this game instead of Wentz. I don't think we're revealing nuclear secrets on the BetUS NFL show. Brother Farley, any thought, if no official play here?
Yeah, it's a great case study in quarterbacks, right? Because Carson Wentz has probably twice the skill set that Taylor Heinicke has. But you talk about leadership, mentality, bringing the team together. Taylor Heinicke has all that, like a lot of gusto every time he takes the field. So he should be starting for that team, and I'm glad they made that decision. I like Scott's play here. I did take Washington at -3. Just not willing to take it at -4 right now because my number's a little closer to that. But this Washington defense is not getting a lot of love in the media, but they should. I mean, over their last 6 games, and they won 5 of their last 6 games, and they probably could have beat the Vikings too. Defense has only allowed 276 yards per game and 15.8 points per game. They are really limiting offenses. And I thought it was really impressive how last week they survived against the Texans, because that was a tough spot coming off a big time emotional loss. They march in there, they take care of business. That's not an easy win. Now they get to go back home and, you know, take on a team. You know, listen, the Falcons are still fighting in the NFC South, but Washington checks out as a surging team right now that I would not want to face. Like, if they were in the playoffs, I think they'd be pretty dangerous. So I like Scott's play, and still a strong lean to Washington at -4.
All right, let's lock him in officially on two plays. Scott is going with the under, and he's also on the side of the Washington Commanders. There you see the side and the under on the total of 42 for this one. An interesting stat there on the Falcons and their offensive problems in road games, and we'll see if that continues. Let's keep rolling and keep moving. I will be part of this game coming off of Thanksgiving weekend. I hope I'm not standing in the rain and the cold for 4 hours on Sunday in Cleveland, where the Buccaneers travel to play the Browns off a bye week. The Bucs, a 3.5-point road favorite against Cleveland, which has been up and down this season. They were very good on Monday Night Football against the Bengals, but they haven't been very good in the last couple of games since then. The total is 43 in this one. Both handicappers on this, and I think we may have some agreement. Brother Farley, right back to you. What do you like and why?
Yeah, love when Scott and I agree. Always makes me feel better about my bets. I'm going under in this game. Up to 20-mile-an-hour winds in this one. Should be pretty sloppy. And, God, I mean, come on. At this point, if the Browns don't realize that they can't win games through their passing game, like, they can't fall behind. But their defense is going to probably assist them in falling behind pretty often. But what I like about this game staying under is that, you know, the Bucs finally established their run game in Germany 2 weeks ago. We saw the rookie running back really looked good in that game too, so maybe they can continue mixing it up with him. They're going to want to play ball control. That's just what the Bucs are, you know, going to want to do. Tom Brady or not, they're going to choose that path. And then the Browns, they should be continually running the ball through Nick Chubb. I mean, I don't know why they go away from that. Even when they're down 14 points, like, the Browns, their best path to victory is keeping it on the ground. They have a great offensive line in that regard, and obviously Nick Chubb is the most dangerous player on their offense. So I just think they have to turn towards it readily in this game, especially with the weather conditions. I love playing when there's 20-mile-an-hour winds on these unders, especially in Cleveland. We saw it a few times last year. These Cleveland games just get dirty, sloppy, and teams really can't move the ball. I think it probably helps their secondary a little bit too, right? These wide receivers can't quite get the same footing. Secondary is going downhill. So I have the under in this game between the Browns and the Bucs.
And the Bucs have not been explosive. They were effective in Germany when they got in the red zone, but they still got to 21 points and capped out in that instance. Scott Kellen, are you in agreement on this play in Cleveland, where, by the way, some chucklehead broke in literally to the First Energy Stadium site and drove around on the field in a golf cart and created some ruts on the field? And, oh, by the way, it's late November in Cleveland. I don't know how much the grass is going to grow when you're trying to replant and what you're going to do. So the field may be an issue, plus rain. Chris likes the under. Scott, what's your thought?
Yeah, I'm going under too. And, you know, like Chris said, 15 to 25 mile an hour winds. I was looking earlier today. They were saying 80% chance of rain. Just looked at it now, 90% chance of rain. So I think we're going to get the rain. We're going to get the wind. And as Chris pointed out, you know, you go back to 2020, the COVID years, Cleveland played like three games in a row at home where it was extreme wind. And I was just looking at those scores, 10-7 over Houston, 16-6 loss to Vegas. And then a game that was a little bit less windy, but still windy, 22-17 against Philly. You go last year, cold and rain against Vegas. That was a 16-14 game. So we've seen history here with low scoring games and all this wind. We know Cleveland wants to run the ball to start with. And to your point, TJ, and I think Chris said it too, Tampa played Seattle last week, and Seattle does not have a great rush defense, much like Cleveland. Tampa only ran for 3.7 yards a rush against Seattle, but that's better than the 3.1 they were averaging for the year. And so we should see some improvement again, allow them to move the change. Keep in mind, you know, with the win, you get to the 35, 38-yard line. You're not kicking field goals now. You're punting it to the 10-yard line, long field going the other way, and obviously you could stop a team, bad punt, and the team gets the ball back in decent field position. Like the under here.
Hicks back at defensive line. Seattle could not run the ball 2 weeks ago to the points that we're making. So both guys are on the under here. Let's lock them in, both Chris and Scott Kellen go under in the Browns-Buccaneers matchup. Again, we keep rolling here. I see live questions that are coming in on the bottom of the screen while the guys are talking as we go through every game on the BetUS NFL show, and we are here a day early, typically Thursdays at 1 Eastern time. We're here a day early for Thanksgiving. Thank you for finding us. Whenever and however you found us, hit the like button, subscribe. Make sure you're here with us typically on Thursdays. All right, Cincinnati Bengals, Tennessee Titans, a game that could be sneaky good here on the weekend in Nashville. This matchup has Cincinnati laying a point, the total 42.5. Chris Farley, I am back to you. You've got a couple of plays, I believe, that you're looking at, or at least one play with a tease here for a play later on. What do you like, Bengals-Titans?
Yeah, this is going to be the first leg of a 6.5-point teaser for me. Teasers have been hitting the last few weeks, so let's keep it rolling with this one. It doesn't get more impressive than what the Tennessee Titans did last week on Thursday. You know, that it's a short week. They're going to Green Bay. Green Bay has some momentum coming off that win against the Cowboys. And again, right from the beginning, the Titans find ways to just trick the other team, punch them in the mouth. That was such an impressive win by the Titans. This is the best ATS team in the NFL. And I like them kind of straight up in this game, but you're giving me a home dog. I Bengals are a very good team, obviously, but you're giving me a home dog in the Titans. I'm going to tease this up to 6.5, so we get it at 7.5 over those key numbers of 3 and 7. Listen, this is a revenge game for the Titans too, right? The Bengals knocked them out of the playoffs last year. And
yes, they did.
One thing about these Bengals is they've been keeping games close. I mean, they blow out teams at home a few times this year, but you know, even last week, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers, if you would have told me that they were going to drop 30 points on the Bengals, I would have been like, well, I'm going to take the Steelers all day at that line, whatever that was, like +4 or something. Somehow they still cover it, but the Titans are going to find ways. They're going to find ways in this game, you know, to get down the field, to score points. Really good red zone offense, really good red zone defense. I love Joe Burrow. I love his tenacity, but I think this has to be a close game. So first teaser leg, I'll talk about the other one later, is Tennessee up to 7.5.
Derrick Henry rounding into form two as well. Scott Kellen, any thoughts, if no official play, on the playoff rematch in Nashville Sunday afternoon?
My numbers have supported Cincinnati kind of all year, and they've done a great job of covering most games. A couple times they didn't support Cincinnati. Thankfully, you know, they didn't cover in those games either. And they support Cincinnati in this game as well. Jamar Chase coming back, which it sounds like he's going to be back, which will be helpful. But I do agree with Chris in that I think this is going to be a very tough game. Tennessee, first of all, 6-2 straight up and against the spread with Tannehill as quarterback and a home dog. So they performed well in this row. And this is going to be a very tough game for Cincinnati. Since the beginning of last year, you know, when they started playing very well, they've been road favorites 8 times. They're 5-3 straight up and against the spread in those games. But only one of those games came against a good team. And that was Dallas earlier this year, which they lost 20-17. So their recent success to me has moved the market in their favor a little bit. And now they're being asked potentially to lay points in a role that's maybe a little bit too big for them potentially. And Tennessee, you know, Mike Vrabel, a masterful game plan last week. He's just a very good coach. So I would love to tease Tennessee. I think it's a great opportunity here. My numbers just support Cincinnati, so I'll stay off the teaser. But I have no problem with what Chris has got here because Tennessee is going to be a very tough game for Cincinnati in this game.
Yep. Well, we will see what will happen here with Burrow and the Bengals off the Pittsburgh win. But again, the Titans also have looked good with Derrick Henry running the football, Ryan Tannehill back from injury. Chris Farley locks in here as part of a two-team tease on Tennessee, teasing it to 7.5. He'll pay off the second half of the tease a little bit later in the show. All right, we keep cooking here on the BetUS NFL show as we rock along on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Let's get to the Houston Texans and the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins off of a bye week here. Look at that line, 14 points. I know Lovie Smith has said midweek, we are not going to say who the quarterback is. Okay, that's not an endorsement of Davis Mills, who's not been very good as of late. The Texans are obviously in trouble. The line is 46, Miami at home. There's not an official play. Scott, quickly to you. No official play. Just give me a quick thought or two.
Yep, Kyle Allen looks like he's going to start now. To me, it's the same as Davis Mills, so you know, nothing really different there. Largest spread that Miami's had at home as a favorite since going back to 2003, ironically, wow, against Houston, and they lost that game, you know, for whatever that's worth, which is really nothing. But look, you know, this is a large line. My numbers basically support where the number's at, so no play for me. But I just don't see Houston really stopping Miami. The only question here, Miami's defense has been a little bit suspect, and can Houston backdoor a large number at the end of the game with a touchdown, you know, meaningless touchdown to get to 20 points and, you know, lose 33-20 or something. But no play for me in this game.
Yeah, Mills threw the pick six right away in the game with Washington last week. They never really recovered at home. They've been awful as of late. Chris Farley, any thoughts here on Miami off the bye week at home? It looks like it has rock and roll written all over it for the Dolphins. Any thought?
Yeah, I mean, historic offense so far from Miami. And it checks out as another game where they should be able to put a lot of margin on the team because Tua gets that ball out fast, right? Their offense just runs up and down the field, and they can just get ahead of you by 10, 20 points really quickly, especially if you have an offense like Houston, like the Browns in the last Dolphins game where they can score at the same pace. They can't score with the same explosion, right? We just haven't seen that from the Texans all year. And, you know, even though this line is massive and, you know, potentially a little bit inflated on the Dolphins here, I think they kind of deserve it. You know, a Texans team, I mean, how are they going to keep up here? It's going to take maybe 2 80-yard runs from Damian Pierce or something. I can't count on that. So I would lean Miami. I would just caution now because the market is definitely caught up to the Miami Dolphins, right? And this is a huge line in an NFL game.
No doubt about that. So no official play. Again, the Dolphins still chasing the Bills and in contention with New England in what's a very competitive AFC East. They will take the wins however they can get them, and they get an easy opportunity here with Houston at home off a bye week in that matchup. Let's move on. The Bears and the New York Jets. And we got quarterback mess for both of these teams. Justin Fields, injured shoulder. We don't know right now midweek, can he play? We do know that Robert Saleh, the Jets coach, has announced Wednesday, right before the live show, that Zach Wilson is not his quarterback. And Zach Wilson, by the way, boys, will be inactive. It is Mike White at quarterback with Joe Flacco as the number two quarterback. Well, you talk about a message being sent to the former number one pick. Jets laying 4.5 with Mike White at quarterback. Hello. 39.5 is the total at the Meadowlands. No official play. Chris Farley, I'm right back to you. What a mess for New York. Yet they're the favorite off a game where they scored 3 points last week. They are the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if we can touch this game, right? We don't know if Justin Fields is going to play. His shoulder's banged out. Probably looks like a pretty good spot for him to sit because the Jets' defense is good, and they can get after the quarterback. And, you know, he's probably going to be in a lot of precarious situations. Justin Fields is still the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. So do you really want to send him out there on the road against a good defense? And then on the other side, Mike White. I mean, in my opinion, Mike White is probably a more formidable option than Zach Wilson. You know, he was able to do some things. If we remember last year, the Bengals went to New York, and I believe that was a Mike White game. Jets ended up winning that one straight up, right? So he's got the kid has some tenacity. And I don't know if we could say that about Zach Wilson, who, you know, can't admit that, you know, he let his defense down. But yeah, I just can't touch this game. I mean, if anything, I lean toward Chicago at the, you know, at the risk of, you know, hopefully Justin Fields plays or something. But you know, this could be a game where if Justin Fields is not on the field, it's like 13-0 Jets or something, you know, because Justin Fields has been their offense, right? Yeah, I don't think they really move the ball much without him.
He's made the plays with his wheels. Trevor Siemian would allegedly be the quarterback as the backup, the journeyman from Denver and New Orleans and a couple of other places if Fields can't play. Scott, any quick thought, if no official play here on a game that everybody believes is going to probably be low scoring? I don't know what your thoughts are real quick.
On Sunday night, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, and I was going out of town, so I did play under 44.5, which now is a great number, but I did give it out to, you know, people that follow me at under 41, making 41 the bare minimum, and that was really under the assumption that Justin Fields wasn't going to play, because to your guys' point, he is their offense. They like to run the ball. Yeah, they can run the ball a little bit, you know, minus Justin Fields, but this Jets defense is very good. So I just do not see if they have to flip to Trevor Siemian, I don't see how they're going to move the ball at all. Mike White, to your guys' point, 6.9 yards a pass average in 4 games last year. Just to put that in context, Justin Fields was averaging 5.6. Now, he had 2 great games and then 2 other games where he was 5.5 yards a pass. The only negative to Mike White, perhaps, a 6.1% interception rate, which is extremely high, and that's probably not sustainable. But he could cough up the ball a little bit more, but For me, it's a lean to the under at the current number, 41 or higher. Without Justin Fields, I would definitely play the under. And a slight lean to the Jets if we don't have Justin Fields, because I just don't know how the Bears are going to move the ball in this game.
Stay tuned on that. No official play from the handicappers. And again, I'm fascinated on have they fractured the Zach Wilson situation here. Robert Saleh says this is not no for good. It's just no for right now. But he's inactive for the game on Sunday as the third quarterback, the former number one pick just a couple of years ago. Message being sent there for sure. Let's move on. Next one that we have up is the Raiders at the Seahawks. Seahawks off the bye, stinging from losing to my Buccaneers in Germany. So they've had an extra week to prepare. Raiders off, as we said, the dramatic overtime win in Denver. Will it boost them? They're back on the road again. The Seahawks lay 3.5. The total is 47.5. Scott Kellen, I'm back to you. There's not an official play here, but quickly a thought or two on this matchup in Seattle.
Yeah, no play for me, TJ. My numbers are kind of right where the game's at. But this kind of seems to have a sense of a game that could be a little higher scoring, I think. Although both teams could run the ball and eat clock, so you always got that you have to worry about. But both teams, you know, rushing, passing offenses are pretty good. Both teams rushing and passing defenses aren't great. Seattle faced a very good Tampa Bay defense last week or 2 weeks ago in Germany. They get back to their more favorable role against a poor defense in the Raiders this week. They faced six below average defenses this season, scored 23 or more in each of those six games, and five of those six games scored 19 in the other game. Kind of likewise for Vegas here as well. I could easily see this game with both teams scoring 23, 24 points, which would get us close to possibly going over the total. But no play for me. But I don't see either team really stopping each other. And again, both teams' offenses are, you know, they can move the ball a little bit when they're playing to their optimum.
We certainly saw the celebration of Derek Carr and Devontae Adams in the end zone like little kids on Christmas morning after that winning touchdown, and why not? It got the figurative piano off their back when they got that victory. Now they're back on the road again, Chris Farley. And again, Seattle's mad after losing. They're off a bye week at home. We've talked about a couple of other teams like that as well that are off the bye week and playing at home. Jacksonville's one of those also this week. Miami's another one. Any thought, if no official play, on Seahawks-Raiders, Chris, real quick?
Yeah, just not many games where the Seahawks were limited that much this year. We saw that against the 49ers early in the year, and the Bucs took care of business last week. But the Raiders tend to play their best defense against their divisional opponents, right? But then they face some of these other guys, and it's not quite the same thing. In Seattle, off a bye, this is a really tough spot for the Raiders. There's going to be some slop in this game, too. Over an 80% chance of rain throughout. I don't really know which team that favors, but, you know, defenses could slip up, I guess. The only side I could look is the Seahawks here. I have the line exactly where it sits. So also lean to the over too. I think I like that thought from Scott. I don't know if either defense is really going to be able to stop the other, because we finally saw Las Vegas get a little rhythm last week too, and that was a really good defense they played. So things might feel a little bit easier this week.
Yeah, it's a good point that you make. Against better competition, they have struggled offensively, the Raiders we're talking about. So no official play here from the guys on Las Vegas and Seattle in the Pacific Northwest. Coming down the stretch of the show here. Again, thank you for finding us live on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Let's take a look at our next game. The Chargers, off the wild loss to the Chiefs on Sunday night, now will play the Cardinals, who again played Monday night in Mexico City. By the way, there's also already controversy coming out of that loss. As bad as they looked in the second half, they've also fired the offensive line coach for inappropriate behavior. Not just demoted him or suspended him, but fired him for whatever went on in Mexico City. So you've got a Cardinal team in turmoil, and the Chargers are a 5-point road favorite in Arizona with a total of 48. Chris Farley, I'm going to bring it right back to you. No official play here, but give me a quick thought or two as we move along.
Last week I said this and I was wrong, but I do think that Kyler Murray should be back in this game. And again, a very, very desperate spot for the Cardinals, who are still, they're one game up on the Rams, so they could still kind of compete. But, you know, this is it, right, if they keep on losing these games. But, man, the Chargers are one of these teams where I want to play on them in this spot. You know, Justin Herbert did so many things right last week. Their defense stepped up a few times. It's probably more about Patrick Mahomes and how brilliant he is. But, you know, this is a game where on paper, matchup-wise, the Chargers should have an advantage at almost every position. Now, of course, you got DeAndre Hopkins, who gets open no matter what. But, you know, something's just – I think at this point we can say Brandon Staley, who's supposed to be a defensive-minded coach, that's why he was brought over there, he can't stop anybody. He can't stop any, especially not in big game situations. He just doesn't. And now they're going to Arizona off a disappointing loss, and Arizona's going to be desperate. You know, believe it or not, I mean, especially these five-point lines that are so weird this season, I kind of lean to the Cardinals to keep it close. You know, like a Western part of the U.S. game, I guess, even though it's not a divisional game or anything. But I don't know. This is just a weird game for me. I can't touch it.
All right, Scott Kellen, a thought here with all the turmoil again for Arizona. They're 5-17 in the last 22 games, including the playoff game with Cliff Kingsbury. So they are floundering right now. Any thought on this if no official play Chargers in Arizona?
I'm kind of with Chris on this, TJ. Arizona is just a mess, so it's very hard to support them. But right now, my numbers definitely favor Arizona in this game. It's just, you know, the Chargers are a team, like Chris said, they got all this talent, so much talent, but they rarely get everything out of that talent. And then that talent is always hurt. I'm guessing Mike Williams probably doesn't play this week. They should have Keenan Allen, I think. But they're just always banged up. But from a Charger standpoint, they haven't won a game on the road this season by more than 3 points, other than a 10-point win at Houston. And I don't think Arizona, despite all the dysfunctional stuff going on, I don't think they're as bad as Houston. So that probably means another close game for the Chargers here. And my numbers support Arizona right now. It's just a question, do I have enough guts to take Arizona? Because they're just not good, but this is a lot of points, you know, based on what we've seen so far this year as well.
And it's midweek, and we don't know if Kyler Murray's practicing right now. Again, with the Thanksgiving holiday, we've got to keep an eye on that. Or will it be Colt McCoy, who got beat around by the San Francisco 49ers Monday night on the short week? Mess. And both guys, you can tell, are saying stay away right now from the mess of trying to figure out Chargers and Cardinals. Okay, speaking of L.A., the other L.A. team is the Rams. Speaking of mess, they are now officially in the modern Super Bowl era the worst record of any defending Super Bowl champion, as they have now dipped through 11 weeks to 3-8. No Super Bowl champion's ever been 3-8 the next year. Matt Stafford, an injury question mark, back in concussion protocol. Oh, goody. Let's go play Mahomes and the Chiefs in Kansas City, as the Chiefs lay 14.5, a total of 44. Chris Farley, I'm back to you for an official play on this one. Do you dare even sniff at the Rams? I can't believe you would. What is the official play?
Yeah, the official play is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, as ugly as it is. I mean, especially at 14.5, right? Like, we got to win this by over 2 touchdowns. But here's the thing. I mean, at Arrowhead, after another just, I mean, if you watch Patrick Mahomes in these games, I can't say it on air, but the things that he says after he makes those game-winning touchdowns, he is, I think, more focused than ever just to put the league on notice that he is the best player in the NFL, and he's playing some brilliant, brilliant football right now. Now, the Chiefs are human, too, so they could have a letdown. But the thing for the Rams is they're not going to be able to run the ball on the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a good running defense. And, you know, maybe they can throw the ball if they choose to, but with who? And, to, you know, who are they going to throw the ball to, right? We saw Matthew Stafford finally look a little better last week. Again, you know, Cam Jordan was out for the Saints. There wasn't as much of a pass rush for the Rams. So, you know, they got some things working the first 3 quarters. But now Stafford's down again in concussion protocol. Who knows who's going to be a quarterback this week? You're going up against a Chiefs team who, even though they're rolling right now and could be sleepy, I don't see it because their schedule continues to be really difficult. Like, they have to get the wins when they can get the wins, right? So that they want to put themselves in the best spot to get the number one seed in the AFC. In my opinion, this is the best team in football. And the mentality of the Rams right now, I said it last week, and I think it remains, they are going to give up on their season eventually. You know, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, players like that are still fighting hard and limiting some teams. That's going to start to really wane, especially when the offense isn't producing, you know, week after week. So I'm, you know, these huge favorites, especially past the 2000s and 2010s, they cover more than they don't. Chiefs at home, I think they blow out the Rams.
It is a ton of points here in this matchup. Scott Kellen, a quick thought. If no official play, John Wolford would be the quarterback again if Stafford can't play. By the way, they released Daryl Henderson, who's been their top running back the last couple of years. They released him. Goodbye. Not just inactive a couple of days. It's a mess right now for the Rams, Scott, real quick.
Yeah, I can see how this game's playing out here. And just, you know, the history of Patrick Mahomes as a home favorite of 7 or more, 16-7 to the under. And so what happens? They get a big lead. Andy Reid pulls his foot off the gas, if you will. They run the ball. And who's the rookie running back? Is it Pacheco? Is that his name?
Pacheco.
Pacheco, yes. Thank you. And, you know, because you've got Clyde that they just put on the IR this week. And so now you got Pacheco. You know, I don't know what his over-under rushing numbers are, but just from a prop play, he might be a good opportunity here late in the game because they're just going to run the ball. They're going to have a big lead. I don't see – Stafford's not playing. Let's just face that. A second concussion, this is the whole Tua thing over again, right? There's just no way he's going out there. I don't know how the Rams are moving the ball. So, you know, this is a 27-3, 27-6 type game, and Pacheco's just going to run the ball. He's going to get some yardage here. I would lean towards the under, but I never slightly lean toward the under. Not quite enough value. And I would look at, you know, something like that from a prop standpoint because I think that has a good – chance of cashing as long as that number is reasonable.
Watch me make an 80s reference that goes right past Farley because Scott and I are older. Maybe they'll turn to Vince Ferragamo in LA at backup on that. Now, nonetheless, Chris says lay those points with the Kansas City Chiefs. He is officially making the play on the Chiefs at home at Arrowhead with the Rams. Home stretch here, three games to go. One of those is New Orleans off the win over the Rams, taking on San Francisco, who did get the impressive win in Mexico City. How good did Jimmy Garoppolo look again with four more touchdowns? I know the Cardinals had no interest in trying to tackle in the second half of the game, but you still got to make the throws and make the plays. And look at that line. 49ers favored by 10 here in Santa Clara. The total 43 with the Saints coming in. Andy Dalton better at quarterback last week. Scott Kellen, a quick thought, if no official play from you, we'll come right back to you. Thoughts quickly.
Yeah. A little lean to San Francisco here. I make the number about 11 and a half. Saints. One thing they do well, ninth in the league in my metrics, running the ball, but they're going to face a 49er rush defense. That's number one. So that could prove to be very difficult for them. And San Francisco now 6-1 of the under is a home favorite of 7 or more since 2020. So they've been staying under these games when they're favorite 22-16 or whatever it was against Chargers a few weeks ago. I would lean towards the 49ers, but it's a big number. But I think the matchups favor San Francisco in this game.
Chris Farley, to you, no official play. Have the Saints found a little something? Andy Dalton was better last week. They ran it a little bit. Again, it's against the Rams at home. This is a whole nother situation on the road at San Francisco. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I have the slightest lean possible, like, 50.5% towards the Saints at plus 10.
Visually show me the slightest lean possible. Is that the slightest lean possible?
Because I think the market's overcorrecting a little bit here. Look, I mean, if San Francisco plays like they played last week, this is absolutely a Super Bowl contender. But we don't always see that from the 49ers, right? There's just sometimes they're not as creative. I don't know if it's a Kyle Shanahan thing, just doesn't want to show the whole playbook. Now, their defense usually shows up week to week, and I do love their matchup against the Saints, that's for sure. But, you know, the Saints, in their mind, they're still in it in the NFC South as well in the tight race. So, again, slight lean to the Saints. I can't trust Andy Dalton to be consistent whatsoever, and that's a mess there. There's some controversy at quarterback. You know, Jameis Winston saying when they sent him to London, he injured his back a little bit more. Like, I don't even know if the team supports Andy Dalton, even if he plays well. So, Saints are kind of a dumpster fire this year. I don't think Dennis Allen is making a difference. And I think, you know, the San Francisco they should win this game, obviously, but I don't think they're going to look quite as much of a juggernaut as they did last week in a big game. So just a fade of a game for me.
Two-team race in the West right now in the NFC, clearly with the 49ers and the Seahawks. 49ers want to keep pace. Winnable game at home with New Orleans. No play from the handicappers on Saints and San Francisco. Two to go. Sunday night game is Green Bay and the Eagles. So this one on paper a bit intriguing, although the Packers lost on Thursday night a week ago. Philadelphia, meantime, losing much of the game, came back to win at Indianapolis on the Jalen Hurts late touchdown. So the Eagles lay 7 here in the Sunday night game in Philly, and the total is 46.5. No official play, Chris Farley. I'm right back to you. Thought or two on Philly Green Bay.
I think the Eagles have to be careful here. This is a appropriate line. You know, they're at home. They've been one of the best teams this year, obviously. But if you look at their last three games and the way they played, right? Close game against the Texans, lost outright to the Commanders at home. Very close game against the Colts. This game sets up better for the Packers than I think people may think. you can run the ball on Philly, and when Aaron Jones is the focal point of the Packers offense, from where I'm sitting, that's the best version of the Packers, right? They can get the play action going, then they can start hurting you downfield a little bit. And the Packers defense, you know, obviously didn't play that well last week against the Titans, but I think the Titans just catch everybody by surprise. You know, the Packers defense has been playing better overall. So, you know, and this is a game where if Jalen Hurts is, you know, trying to throw the ball down the field, the Packers have the secondary where they can pick you off, right? They're going to play pretty tight coverage here. And on top of that, I mean, I'm saying a lot of things. Why am I not taking a play here? I don't know. But the Packers, this is a really desperate spot for them. I mean, this is the Packers season, if you ask me.
Yes.
They can barely afford to lose another game if they want to make it into the playoffs. So plus seven, I realize it's at Philly. I realize Philly, you know, is coming off a close game. Maybe they play better at home. But, you know, if we consider what this game would have looked like at the very early start of the season, thinking about the Packers as a potential championship contender, that line is probably what, you know, like 2-3?
Right.
So, you know, the Packers aren't that versions of themselves this year, but I think it checks out as feeling like a game that's more like a heavyweight NFC, you know, battle.
All right. And in the Packers case, Scott Kellen, as we come to you, they have 7 losses already, to Chris's point. If you have any hope of hanging in the wild card, they're 5 behind Minnesota in the loss column for the division. If you're trying to hang into the wild card, you can't lose more than maybe one more game the rest of the way to get a wild card here, if that's the case. Quick thought, if no official play on the Sunday night game, Scott.
I feel like we've been saying this is do or die for the Packers for about 6 weeks now. And, you know, maybe the final nail goes in the coffin here, but I lean a little bit toward the over in this game. Hurts, since he became the starter last year, he's now, 7-1 to the over in those games. They've scored 21 or more points in each of those games. I show a little value to the over. This number is ticked up, so it's kind of taken away a best bet for me. And I show some value to Green Bay here. You know, Hurts has been pretty good as a larger home favorite. But since LaFleur arrived in 2019, Packers are 10-3 against the spread as a road dog. That's basically all Aaron Rodgers, of course. They're 2-1 against the spread this year as a road dog. That backdoor cover of Buffalo, they lost at Minnesota, and I forget the other game. So they they're 4-0 against the spread as a road dog of 4 or more points during that same time period. Yes, a little bit different team this year than, you know, the last couple of years, but they're off a Thursday night game, a little bit more time. They might get a couple guys back, potentially. We're starting to see Christian Watson do a few things there. It's like Chris said, I think it's a very dangerous spot. And the Eagles, you know, it's a very good team, right? But they were plus 15 in turnover ratio just a few weeks ago. They play that game against Washington. They have a negative turnover ratio. They're only averaging 5.7 yards a play against a collection of teams that allow 5.6 yards a play. So it's not like this is this thriving offense that they have here. So, and to Chris's point, I think they'll be able to run the ball. They're 11th best in running for me, and Philadelphia shows up as a 26th rush defense for me. So that could be their path to success. Don't turn the ball over, run the ball. Very similar to what they did or had to do against Buffalo a few weeks ago as well.
Got to have it if you're the Packers at this point, as we laid out. But the Eagles are also trying to hold off the Cowboys or the Giants, whoever wins on Thanksgiving Day, right now chasing them at 9-1. All right, we'll see what happens. No official play in that game. One final game to go to, and that is the Monday night game to end Thanksgiving weekend, and it's the Steelers and the Colts, a matchup that on paper before the season began was supposed to be pretty good, but it's kind of eh. Jeff Saturday's third game as the coach in Indianapolis. They've gone back to Matt Ryan. The offense has been pretty good. Kenny Pickett and the Steelers have been better the last couple of weeks. They won over the Saints. They were competitive but lost to the Bengals. The line 2.5, a short favorite for Indianapolis. The total is 39 in this one. Chris Farley, quickly, you are going to pay or play a second half of your tease here. What's the teaser that you like and why?
I gotta stick with the 6.5 because I needed the 6.5 for the Titans, but that creates a line here where we get the Steelers at plus 9. And gotta like the Steelers in this matchup. First of all, they put up 30 points on a really good defense last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. So, you know, starting to move the ball a little bit, but obviously TJ Watt, that defensive line, is just a much different outfit when he's in the lineup. And they should be able to get some pressure on Matt Ryan and the Colts. And then on the other hand, right, the Colts, very good defense, should be able to limit the Steelers. So I just see a low scoring game here. That's why the total is where it is, right? These are historically low totals. But it's for a good reason. You know, Steelers just should be able to keep this within distance. I like that Najee Harris is starting to get going a little bit too. You know, ultra productive running game, no, right? But at least he's gaining some confidence right now. So I'm teasing up the Steelers. I mean, I just don't see a world where the Colts can blow out anybody. I know they've shown some improvements recently, but you know, the Steelers defense in my mind with TJ Watt on the field is every bit as good as the Eagles defense. And you know, we saw the Colts only put up 16 points last week and struggle throughout that entire game. I think it looks a lot like that. So Titans teased up 6.5 and Pittsburgh Steelers teased up 6.5.
All right, wants the Steelers to keep it close. Scott Kellen, one final quick thought here where the Colts have been playing better. Jeff Saturday, obviously a former Pro Bowl, Super Bowl winning center, has reportedly hyped up that offensive line, whipped them into shape to protect Matt Ryan a little better. Any thoughts, Scott, quickly?
Yeah, I'll just support everything Chris said because I have no really play in this game. First of all, teasers going over that 7 with totals of 42 or lower, 11-3 this year. So it's a very good spot for it. And Chris, I'll tell you why Indy shouldn't probably win this game by more than 7, because they haven't won a game by more than 7 this year. Right. And the Steelers, the only games the Steelers have been blown out at Buffalo, at Philadelphia, very, very good teams. Yes, they lost by 12 to Cleveland, but I've said this in numerous shows, touchdown at the end. They were down by 6, I think, late in that game. So they should be able to keep this game close as well. I think the teaser is a decent play. The way I look at things, I won't do it just because I've got a little value on Indy in this game. But I'm not playing Indy, but I think the teaser is a pretty solid play given kind of everything I just laid out.
Good stuff. The official play belongs to Chris Farley. It's the second part of the teaser leg. It is the Steelers teased up to 9 points, as you mentioned, pairing that up with Tennessee earlier in the show. I just saw Chris the Cop, who is a frequent guy in the live chat and getting questions, saying, I just woke up and just found the show. A lot of people that are in the West, etc. It's a holiday week. Rewatch the whole show, Chris. You can see everything after we're done. We're typically live Thursdays at 1 Eastern time, but thank you for finding us and watching on the day before Thanksgiving. Let's get to the best bets. A quick recap. Here's what the guys are on. I will not go over everything that you see on the screen. You can hit the pause button if you're watching us after the fact and read all of this. You see all of it there, including Chris being on several sides. Scott's got several plays on the total to go over. We've got 3 games on Thanksgiving Day and then a full 13 games Sunday and Monday. Every team in action this weekend in the NFL. Boys, final thoughts on the Thanksgiving holiday. We're all going to get enough to eat. Okay, the quick TJ impromptu dessert survey. Pumpkin pie, either one of you? Thumbs up, thumbs down, pumpkin pie? Yes.
Yes. No, what is it? My favorite dish is pumpkin pie by far.
Pumpkin pie. I'm a pecan pie guy. Pumpkin pie, no. Apple pie, yes. If that's the case, we'll stick that in.
Yep.
We'll take advantage of all of those. Guys, great job. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you. I know it was a busy show here today. Good luck with your plays, Chris Farley and Scott Kellen.
Thank you guys for all the listeners.